Welcome to It's My Money presents The Money Exchange with Petrina Dixon, international speaker, certified financial education instructor, and award-winning author.
Hi, it's Petrina, and you are listening to The Money Exchange podcast. The goal of every episode is to bring you relevant money topics and strategies to help empower you to become financially secure. In this episode, you're going to hear from Alex, who's not yet 25, but already killing it, about to reach financial independence within the next year. How? It's a combination of his 9-to-5, dabble in real estate, and killing it in the cleaning service business. Take a listen of how he makes all those pieces come together for soon to be financial independence. I am so excited to have Alex here with me today. What's up, Alex?
Hey, how you doing? Happy to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited. So Alex is so well-rounded. So we're going to focus on his real estate and his cleaning business, but he also has a 9-to-5. So he is doing his thing, right, Alex?
Hey, you got to do it. You got to do it while you can. You don't know, we don't know how long we'll have the opportunity, so we got to take advantage.
That's what I'm talking about. And I know you have a goal. Is it, what was that age that you want to reach a certain financial goal by? I know I've read that in your bio.
Yeah. So the goal was by age 28, I wanted to have financial freedom, but I'm probably going to hit it this year, and I'm 25 right now. So.
Hold on. You just said that so like cavalier. So you said, I want to make sure I understand, because I'm double that age. You said by 25, you are going to hit financial freedom.
In fact, indeed, this year.
All right. So I think I need to really just sit back and listen to what you have to say, and then I can just formulate my questions. Did you all hear that? He said he's going to be at financial freedom at age 25. He had a goal of 28. But he's hitting it 3 years sooner, you all. That's why I have him here on the episode. It's because I want to make sure that I'm bringing forth guests that you can hear, you can do it too. Now, if he can do it at 25, if you're 24, or if you're 44, you can learn from him. And that's what we're going to share here today. So Alex, you know that everybody wants to hear. First of all, define financial freedom for us. Tell us, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, that's a great point, because I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with the principle and concept of financial freedom, right? But essentially, the way I like to describe it is, once your passive income or business income or whatever income that you earn without trading in your time for it exceeds your living expenses. And so there's multiple levels to financial freedom. There's like, you know, basic level one financial freedom, where once you are able to cover your basic living expenses, you're technically financially free, right? And then there's like level two financial freedom, where it's like, you know, once I can go beyond that and I can, you know, have a splurge a little bit. And then there's like level three, which is like the top of the pyramid, which is like, now I can, you know, buy whatever I want kind of financial freedom, right? But when I speak of it, I'm mainly speaking in regards to level one and level two financial freedom, in terms of just covering those basic living expenses and never having to trade in your time for money again in your life.
All right. So my listeners are very much interested in that. They're very much familiar with financial freedom. They're very familiar with FIRE, financial independence, retire early. But I want you to just get a little bit more give a little bit more specificity. So when you say your finances cover your living expenses for a month, for a year, like, what's that? How would you define that you will be at that point at 25? Like, tell me, what does that mean? Does that mean financial cover your expenses for a year, 6 months? What is that?
Yeah. So for me, it's not money in the bank, it's cash flow. Okay. So how much cash? Okay. Cause there's levels to it, right? Because obviously, like, you know, basic personal finance, you want to be able to cover emergency expenses. Mm-hmm. And obviously that comes with your emergency fund. Usually it's at least 6 months. And I think that's just depending on how old you are in your situation. I'm a young single guy, so like, it's kind of like, I can be a little more, you know, out there than a lot of people, just me personally. So I don't necessarily need to keep a lot of cash in the bank. But when I speak in regards to financial freedom, I'm always speaking about cash flow coming in from business and real estate. That's
okay.
It.
All right, got it.
Yeah, so that's that. So when I say I'm reaching financial freedom, it's because now the income that I pay myself for my real estate and for my business has exceeded now what my job, what I was getting at my 9-to-5 engineering job. And also that also covers my daily living expenses, my monthly living expenses. So it's on a month to month basis.
Yeah. And I love how you said the amount that you pay yourself from your business, because a lot of people don't do that. They may make money in the business, but they're not paying themselves. They're just continuing to reinvest into the business. So we're going to get into that a little bit. So you were talking, so we're not going to touch the 9-to-5. You have that and people know what that means, right? So let's go into real estate, because through what I read about you, you have a 9-to-5, you dabbled in real estate and always thought that that was going to be your thing. And then you got into something else. You're like, wait a minute. I think I like this other thing better. And it showed you the return a lot quicker than probably you anticipated. So let's first start with the real estate. So you work 9-to-5, you're a young man, real estate was going to be your key to financial freedom. So tell us why you got into it, and then why you are now doing what you're doing, which also has a real estate prong.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that question, because I love telling the progression of the story, right? Mm-hmm. Because when I graduated college, it was December of 2017, I was 21 years old when I graduated, and I started working in January of 2018. 2 weeks into working my engineering job, I realized this is actually pretty garbage and this is pretty trash. I don't want to do this for the rest of my life.
Did you say you were what now? An engineer that you said is garbage? Because I know that's a lot. It took you a lot to earn being able to do that. And I know that they make decent money. So I'm just like, wait, what? Garbage? That's what you quickly identify?
Immediately. And the reason I can say that confidently is because I knew what, for me, I'm very results oriented, right? So I like to win, right? I'm very competitive. I love to win. So I always measured myself against how much I don't compete necessarily with others, but I'm always trying to compete with myself. So yes. In school, it was always like, okay, I got, a 3.8 last semester. I need to get a 4.0 now. And I need to do this semester. I need to do this. So it's always something for me to win, right? Uh-huh. But once I got into the 9-to-5 world, what happened was I saw there was no win in there for me. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in there to win at, because you're at the pinnacle at that point, right? At least before in school, I was, climbing the ladder. And that kept me cool. I this isn't bad. But you get to the job and it's like, okay, what's next? So that's when I realized, I saw that quickly. I was like, there's no end in sight here. And the reason I could say that is because I would look around and, my job is you got to work a lot of hours. Mm-hmm. And so, I was 21 years old and it'd be 7-8 o'clock. I'm in the office getting work done 2 weeks into the job. And I'm looking around and it's a 60-year-old coworker here. And it's another, 35-year-old coworker to my left. And I'm like, yo, it's one thing for me to be here right now. And I'm 21. I don't have no wife or kids to go home to. I'm going to go home and, eat a TV dinner or something like that. Right. But you got kids and you got a wife waiting for you. And it's 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and you're still here. So that's when I saw, I was like, nah, this ain't right. So there was something there that was just, it was a disconnect for me. So that's when I realized this is not what I'm going to do. So I really began to go deep and deep and deep, because I'm a very inquisitive person. So when I see that something is not right, it don't feel right, and there's no win in there for me, I got to go investigate how can I get a win? Where can I get a win? So for me, I just started searching, really early retirement. And how do people do that? And the number one thing I kept seeing was real estate. So I said, cool, guess that's real estate. And I also read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki, that book. And he talks a lot about assets over liabilities. Real estate was his bread and butter. So I said, oh, it's just intuitively real estate makes a lot of sense because of reasons we'll get into. So I said, cool, let me go into real estate. And then I pretty much just went head first. I bought 5 books and I listened to probably 300 podcasts about real estate. And then by that 5-6 months later, I bought my first property that summer in August of 2018. And, from there, I said, cool, my goal is to just buy one property until I'm 28. And that'll be enough to give me financial freedom. That was my first financial freedom goal, is just to buy one property every year.
And so let me ask this question. Was your real estate journey, or your thought about your real estate journey, was that to buy a property to be a landlord? Was it buy a property that you also live in to fund your other side? Or was it flipping? What angle of real estate were you considering?
Yeah, and that's, I love that point, because I was talking about the end goal is so important, because you got to know why you're doing stuff. So for me, I said I just wanted one property a year, and that was just going to come from like renting out properties, right? So pretty much buy and hold rentals, buying them distressed, fixing them up, refinancing, taking the money, going and do it again. That's a strategy in real estate, the BRRRR strategy. So originally that was my goal. And also through house hacking, which is just, you pretty much, you know, use a low money down, like an FHA loan or whatever. And, you know, you have to live in the property 1 year, then you can move out, then you can go do it again. So using those two strategies, I was like, yeah, I'll just build my real estate portfolio like this. But what I realized, I was like, I want more than just what that can give me by age 28. That's 7 years. I can do way more than like 10 properties in 7 years. So I said, I want to get 50 units that cash flow $200 a month. So 50 units, I said, I can either go buy, you know, 50 houses, I can go buy 25 duplexes, or I can go buy like a 50 unit apartment building. So that became my goals, to get 50 units. So I said, I would really want to buy a 50 unit apartment building. How can I get a 50 unit apartment building? Well, in order for me to do that, I probably need like $1 million or some cash amount to put as the down payment, because there's really not many ways to finance that without coming to the 20% down for that. And so I said, okay, how can I get $1 million liquid? I could probably keep flipping houses, or I could flip houses, or I could save money on my job. Probably not going to get there saving money. So I said, let me start flipping houses. Yeah. So then, you know, I partnered up with, you know, my friend, and also, you know, I met another guy out here, and we started flipping houses, and that became that. And so the goal is now we still flip houses now, but it's now with the objective to take that money and to buy an apartment complex, buy multiple apartment complexes. So it's not to flip them just to get cash. It's now to flip them so you can convert the cash, that equity, into cash flow from apartment complexes. And that is now what really became my real estate goal in terms of like building my real estate portfolio, is to pretty much buy apartment complexes now. So it shifted from that.
Yeah. So, you know, what comes with that, you know, the flipping and then going into the complex that you just discussed, which is a great why to have as you're doing the flipping. But once you get to that end goal, then it comes with the other stuff, being a landlord, making sure you're filling the 50 units that you have available, and those people paying rent on a consistent basis. So how it seems like you're very calculated, and that's probably by trade, right? And so what have you thought about ensuring that stays or gets to the point that you need to sustain the reason why you want the 50 unit complex?
Yeah. And so right now, I mean, so are you speaking like in regards to like being a landlord of 50
units? Yes, like that aspect of it. Like, have you thought about like how you would manage that? Because it doesn't seem like that would be the part that you would want to do, given everything you shared thus far. So have you thought that part out as well? Because it's 100% different than what you have, the flipping, you don't really go through landlord aspect of it.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that's why people got to understand the difference. Like that's commercial real estate, right? Yeah. So commercial real estate, when you're talking greater than 5 units on one building, that's considered commercial real estate to the bank. And also to pretty much everything, because you got to understand, when you're buying real estate, you're not buying just a property, you're buying a business, right? Mm-hmm. A business is something that produces income and produces cash flow. So now real estate is just the tool that business uses to produce income, right?
You better talk about it, Alex.
Yeah. So with a
50- wait, how old did you say? Wait a minute. What?
with a 50 unit building, that's they're just using that building, like, because you're buying the property as a company, as an LLC. Now that company owns this property, and now the way the company makes money is from these people's rent. So yeah. once you understand that concept, you know, I cannot manage this 50 unit building the same way I'm gonna manage a 2-unit duplex, because now a 2-unit duplex is not a business in per se, right? Because I know with a business, I need to have systems in place in order to operate that business, which we'll get into also with other stuff. But I know now that if I have systems in place to operate this business, I'm going to have a management team running this property management, a professional property management company that's going to handle all the tenant issues, handle all the repairs with their, you know, their repair teams and all that kind of stuff. So I'm pretty hands off, but those things are built into the numbers. So before you even buy it, you're buying it with the anticipation to have management under, if you're buying it the right way. Some people don't buy it the right way.
Yeah, true that. So now you go through that process. Now you have your why, and it's the 50 unit building. You're doing that. Sounds like you've collaborated with others. And then you said, yeah, no, I want something else too. So talk about like how you got to that, and then share with our listeners on what that something else is.
Yeah, for sure. So one thing that happened was in 2019, it was, this was like 2 years into the journey. So I had bought at this point, I bought two properties, and I had flipped probably about three to four properties at this point 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like, it got to a point where it was like, man, okay, this is really slow. Like, I'm getting really impatient. Cause you know, real estate is pretty saturated. It's pretty hot right now. It's really competitive. So it's, you know, it's not like 10 years ago when you can, you know, you could buy so many properties for a very steep, for a very good discount. But today it's a lot more competitive, and it was even when I got in. So anyways, I say that to say it's like, this is really slow. So what else could I do? So that year we actually ended up starting the podcast, our podcast, which is called the Money Monopolizers Podcast. Me and my best friend from seventh grade, he's also in this journey as well. And so we started that podcast really with the intent to just, because we would have so many conversations, just talking like 3, 4, or 5 hours every night about like business and stuff like this when we was like from age 21 and, you know, until we started a podcast, even today. And so it was like, let's just start the podcast. We might as well just, you know, put this information out there so we can brand ourselves as these people, right? As the financial freedom people, as the money people. And so when that happened, what happened was we got on Instagram to like create that platform and all that kind of stuff. And what I saw was like, man, I only knew one way of building wealth and financial freedom at that point. It was just real estate.
Yeah.
So, but I started seeing like, man, people making money in all these different industries. Like you can make money in trucking. You can make money with vending machines. You can make money with mobile homes. You can make money with stock options. You can
notary.
Notary business. You can make money with
Yes.
Everything. And I was like, wow, so that's not the only way. And so I realized real estate wasn't the only way. And so I when that happened, I kind of just like went back to school. And when I say school, I mean like Entrepreneurship University. And so one thing is, I'm not afraid to pay for education that I know I'm going to implement and get a return on. So
I want you to stop right there. That's exactly right. I think people want to do more, right? Yeah. Want to learn more. You now have mastered, I would imagine you have mastered or some level of mastering the real estate market. You want to try something else. So you have to invest in yourself. Yeah. In the knowledge to be able to go to the next level. I think that's where a lot of people miss it. People want to make the money. They want to make it fast. But you have to, as the money lady, you have to make sure that you know how to handle the money that you want to earn, right? And you've mastered that. But you also have to understand, if you want to play in other lanes, you have to be educated in that, or partner with somebody that is. And that may mean an investment, meaning a financial investment in that education or in that collaboration. And and I think that people are not, they don't grasp that part quick enough. And then I'm not going to say that's why sometimes there's failures, but I think that sometimes it's just, okay, I want to jump in, but let me do a little bit more before I get there. So I'm glad to hear you say that.
That's such a great point too, because I always operate with the mentality of like, it's I'm paying for their mistakes. I'm not paying just to like get the information. I'm paying so I can avoid losing money. I can guarantee you, if I go out and try to implement this without the information, I'm going to lose a lot more money than had I just spent the money on a course, right?
You're like, oh my gosh. Like, okay, those of you that are listening that hear me talk about what he's talking about, this is our debut together. So I did not know he was going to say what he's saying, but Lord have mercy, is he's dropping knowledge. You are paying people that are experts so that you can learn from their mistakes. That's what people teach, is I did this do it this way and don't do it that way. And again, it's a blueprint. You got to have your own feel and go your own, do your own thing, being yourself. But you don't want to go left if left has rocky potholes in it and somebody's already gone and can tell you if you are going to go left, turn sharp right and then sharp go back, you know, left and then go down the side street before you go to the main road. Let them tell you that so you don't have to experience that. That is so brilliant that you said that. I'm still astonished by the age that you are and you have learned these skills so far, because some of that stuff is hard to teach. It's hard to teach that. Yes, you are smart. You have an engineer degree, but this stuff, which you call Entrepreneur University, that's a different learning, right? That's a different skill set. And you got to get that. And may you have to get that for every discipline that you want to try to make money in, right? So 100%. You learned it in real estate, maybe another thing, and then maybe you want to do another thing, which is all doable, but you got to continue to invest in those lanes that you want to go in. I love that you said that, but I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, please. I love the dialogue. And one thing I think of now a lot is like, you're learning, when you take a course by someone that is teaching what they are actually doing, you got to understand these are people that are actually implementing. It's not like college. Right. In college, you learn a lot of things from people that aren't real. They're not actually doing these things. Right. They're just teaching the theory behind it. Right. But with the courses, I'm telling you, there's courses out there that, and I'll get into it in a minute. There's courses out there that are $200 that you can take, implement, and you can make 10,000 times more than what you would have made from a $40,000 degree, even an engineering degree at that. And so it's just a mindset thing. You can't be afraid to pay for information. You got to understand that information is literally the only thing keeping you from where you need to be or where you want to be. That's the difference.
Information and execution. Cause some people go to a whole bunch of sessions, a whole bunch of conferences and courses and don't execute on a dang on thing. You have to execute. Like you can't just learn it and hold it because you can't make the money that way. You actually have to execute on some of that stuff.
100%. Yeah. And that's a fact. So I'll kind of just continue along with it.
Yeah, but please.
Whenever I saw a lot of things. So the first thing I saw was, you know, oh, you can make money in trucking. And that was the first thing I did. So I spent from like October of 2019 to like March of 2020 or 20, I guess early 2020, right before, you know, COVID happened. I spent that entire 6 months studying trucking, learning trucking. I took the Alex Good Energy Worldwide Trucking portal. And it's a great thing. It was a great investment. It was like $2,000 for the course. And I was like, man, this was underpriced. There was just so much value and knowledge in there. So I ended up buying a truck that by January, I ended up buying a truck, got it on the road in March. Then COVID happened. Mm. And it was kind of like downhill from that point for me personally, just based on the fact that, you know, it was really hard. Like rates were not really good. And in trucking, you make money based off of the rate that the shippers are willing to pay for you to deliver their loads. Yeah. And so 2020 was kind of rough for that business. And it was nothing that I was like, you know, devastating me. I lost a lot of money though. I will say that I lost a lot of money, but I don't say that to discourage anyone from getting in. I say that to say, it's like, you just got to understand the possibility of what can happen when you get in. Cause I got in there, I had all the right information, but a black swan event happened and it was just something that was kind of out of my control. But there's people that are killing it right now. People that are still getting in, people that are going and they're killing it. So it was something that was cool. But so one thing, and I'll get into this. I mean, I'm trying to stay focused, but I get so excited talking about this stuff. but that year also, I saw like, okay, you can make money in mobile homes too. Because like I said, we had a podcast. So we were bringing a lot of these people that do these things on our podcast. And so I was getting like free game, free knowledge every week from different people in different industries. So I'm getting shiny object syndrome every single week. And so I'm just like, okay, I got the truck. Now my goal, I want to have 7 streams of income, right? And that was my mindset at that time. I want 7 streams of income. You just say, I just want 7 streams of income. And I was like, what I'm gonna do? So I said, okay, I'm gonna get the truck. I'm gonna go get a mobile home. I'm gonna get a vending machine. I'm gonna do stock options. I'm gonna do Amazon FBA. I'm gonna start a marketing company and I'm gonna have my real estate. So that was my mindset. And it was like, I was all over the place. And so 2020, that's why I say I went to Entrepreneurship University, because all those things I just mentioned, I probably invested at least I would say a few thousand dollars into the actual education and also into the business, trying it and implementing it. Because my whole thing was, I'm going to try everything until I figure out which one of these hits for me. I was going to keep trying and keep trying and keep trying and keep trying. And then the last thing I finally tried was the cleaning business. So we brought Anthony and Januka Hartsog on our podcast, and they were talking about how, you know, they got into the cleaning business. And, you know, that was like early March, or I think it was like April of last year. They released a course that summer. I was like, oh, $150, $149. Yeah, worst case scenario, I'll walk away with information and some new knowledge. It's not a big deal. So I took the course. I said, yeah, I can implement this. Implemented it. And I mean, I'll fast forward. Within the next 9 months, I made $100,000 in that business.
So you started the cleaning business.
Yep.
And what you ended up going. Okay.
Yeah, so in August of last year, August 6th last year, I launched a cleaning business. Then May 6th of this year, I hit $100,000 or $108,000 of revenue in 9 months.
If you are ready to get your money in order and master money management, make sure you check out my course. Go to itsmymoneymasters.com, or you can go to my regular webpage, which is itsmymoneyjournal.info. And on the front page there, you'll see the tab to go to the course. You could try to do it yourself. You can try to Google, but why not get the steps that can teach you ABC 123 to master your money so you can start building wealth and also be financially independent, like you're hearing from Alex. Okay, continue listening.
Before I asked you the question about the cleaning business, the other seven things that you talked about, you tried them all and then decided those were not for you, or did you just try the trucking?
No, I tried all of those.
So, okay, and those just were not due to the pandemic, or you just didn't think they were best for you?
Yeah, they didn't feel right. I didn't feel good about it. I didn't feel like, I tried them and I was making money in most of them. Some of them, I didn't never really even get them off the ground enough, but I invested into it. But it just didn't feel like it was for me. Like you just, some things it's like, it's fine. You don't have to do everything like I said, I'm in a position where I can try as much as I need to and not have to like worry about any fallback or it being detrimental to anyone else. So right, I tried a bunch of things, and the things that just didn't feel right, I had like a lot of things. I had rental cars. I had, you know, all these different things bringing in me money, but it got to a point this year. Now I said, and I told myself my biggest thing of 2021 was focus. And so I said, what do I really want? What do I really want to do? So I narrowed it down to what I felt good about and what was working best for me. And it was the cleaning business and real estate. And so now I pretty much offloaded and I started liquidating every other business that I had.
Love that. So then when the cleaning, so you had guests on your podcast, they start dropping the knowledge about their business, I guess how successful that they were in that. And then the fact that they had a course, say again who they were so people can hear that.
So, I mean, for the cleaning business, it was Anthony and Januka Hartsog. They're called the Hartrimony on Instagram. And then Like, I mean, there's a bunch of people I could shout out from the podcast that we interviewed that got me to starting businesses. I mean, yeah. So
No, I just want. So the cleaning business, you're like, okay, I'm going to try this. I took this course. I'm going to try this. What about that? Like, why that? Why did that one stick? And then most importantly, how did you, you know, make that the sort of money you made in the time frame for which you made it in?
Yeah. So to me, it was just about the fact that it was recurring revenue. And it was like one thing I realized about myself, and that's why I said 2020, I learned myself in so many different ways personally and also as an entrepreneur. I really like businesses that are, I guess you can say, minimally invasive, but in terms of like overhead, right? So with trucking and a lot of those kinds of businesses where you have, you know, mechanical objects and physical objects, there's a lot more overhead just due to repairs, those kind of things, right? Even real estate to an extent. But what I saw with the cleaning business was that it's a service-based business. So all I'm really selling is an experience. I'm selling labor to a customer. And with labor, there's very little overhead. As long as you treat your employees and your workers right, then they're going to work for you for a very long time, and they'll be happy to do that.
Well, that's what I want to get to. So you're not doing the cleaning. So I want to make sure that I'm assuming, right? Okay. So, and then you say you want to start this business. So now you got to get people to actually clean. Are you doing residential or homes?
Yeah. So we do primarily
residential or commercial. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. We have a few commercial customers, but I primarily majority of revenue comes from residential customers.
Okay, so then did you do any research on, do people even want this service before you even like went head in? Or did you just know that it was something in your area that people would invest in themselves in getting?
And so, and that's why it just goes back to what I was talking about earlier, having like a real teacher, someone that actually does it. Cause I know it's like, oh, if they want it over there, I know they want it over here. Cause what's the difference between the people over there and the people over here? They still need their house. If they need, they get their houses dirty over there, then they getting their house dirty over here. So people are gonna need their house clean. So that was my mindset. And like I said, the biggest thing was the recurring revenue. Cause now with the cleaning business, it's like rent every month. There's certain customers that you do monthly, weekly, you know, even twice a week, twice a month, whatever case may be. That is guaranteed money every single month that I don't have to go market for.
Again. So now what about staff? So how did you find the people that you felt comfortable with? They're going into homes, you know, that there's, you know, there's opportunity for what I want to call it, sticky fingers if you don't have the right staff. How did you go through that process? Talk a little bit about that, finding the right staff, what that process was, and then, you know, talk about what you see most. Do you see people cleaning every week or every 2 weeks or monthly?
Yeah, so it was, as far as finding, you know, work, that's probably the hardest part of the business. Because what you gotta understand is like, you know, most people, at least for me, they won't have like as high a quality of standard for the way they do things. So I have like a very high quality of standard for everything I do. So even in business, it's like, I only hire high quality people. So I fire just as quick as I hire. because if you're not getting it right immediately, no, then it's not going to cut it. And some people won't agree with that, but it's fine. So for me, as far as finding people, there's a bunch of ways, you know, Indeed, ZipRecruiter, all these kinds of things, they're out there. You put ads out there and people will apply for your jobs. 90% of people that apply won't be qualified and they won't work, but hiring is a numbers game. And so that's kind of my mentality. So I'm not sure. I think you asked another question, but I forgot. But
yeah. And then once you got that down pat and got the folks that you needed, I'm going to add to my question. How often does one get their home cleaned in your area? And then how do you expand? Are you able to quickly expand your staff if you have referrals and your client base expands? How quickly does it take you to get some cleaning folks up and running if more clients want your business to service their home?
Yeah. So most of my staff pretty much works full time with me. And so I have good, you know, amount of workers available. So, you know, we have customers that we clean weekly. We have customers. I have, you know, one of my customers I've been cleaning since literally the second day I've launched the business last August. It's been almost a year. We've been cleaning her house every single week. That's $200 a week for a year. Yeah. So she's spending $800 a month getting her house cleaned. That you can imagine is just like rent, like I said. And so as far as like hiring and all that kind of stuff, I'm always hiring. You always got to be hiring because you never, like the people you have, you can't just say it's always going to be like this. I'm always going to have them. These people, you know, they're humans. They have emotions. They might, you know, something comes up in their life. They have emergencies, all these things. So you always got to be hiring because you don't want to ever really have to miss out on work. The worst thing that happened for me was like, that's why I tell people I probably could have hit 100,000 way earlier, probably in 6 months instead of 9 months, because I spent the first 3-4 months with one cleaner because I was just like, she wasn't having no emergencies. She didn't have nothing happen. I was like, oh, this is pretty easy. I don't know why people are complaining. And so then it comes, you know, January of this year, and she says, hey, I got to go to Mexico for, you know, for an extended period of time. I'm like, hold on, I don't have nobody else. So, you know, that's when I really got serious about always hiring. And the thing is too, in the course that I mentioned, Anthony and Janoka, they talk about this. So it was, it's not like I didn't have that knowledge. It's just, I was just, you know, saying, nah. Yeah, exactly. And that was my biggest thing. So it's like, now I'm always hiring. So, you know, now it's averaging 30,000 a month, every month.
Wow. And do you have the same people going to the same houses all the time? Meaning like if you're cleaning the Dixons, is it, you know, I don't know, Sarah coming each time, or is it Sarah this time, Joe this time? And like, how do you manage that?
So I personally like to, and every business is different, but I like to make sure that we get the same people to the same house every single time, because I operate the business off of standard operating procedures, SOPs. And I know that in order to deliver the same service, that's the goal. No matter. The thing is, though, this is one principle I have in my business. It won't matter who goes out there. But for the customer's sake, I know psychologically they're comfortable with the same person. They like that. Yeah. So we send the same person.
I had to literally fire a cleaning company because they sent a different person every time. And I'm like, listen, you're coming into my home, right? Meaning the people. And I need to feel comfortable with who's coming in my home. And that, although they could be very good at what they do, but to your point, psychologically, I need to know who's in my home. Like I work from home, so I'm here. So it's not like so much of that, but when I'm here, I'm in a room. They're throughout all the rooms in the house. And I when I get comfortable with the person, I don't want anybody else. Like I want that person all the time coming to my house. And then because I feel like you have to graduate, because the guy who owned the company said to me, he said, we have clients who leave their keys. You don't have to be there. Da, da, da. I'm like, yeah, you graduate to that. I can't like hire you and then say, here's the key to my home. Like it just doesn't work that. And I'm like, I definitely can't get there if you're going to be sending different people each time. So so that was one of the reasons why I couldn't stay with them. And I liked the first group, the other groups, because they usually come with two. So now the people I have now, I absolutely love. So
and that's the thing.
Does make a difference with the client base. I guess that's my point in sharing that with you.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why, we do that. My only thing I tell like, my workers too. And that's like, it doesn't matter who goes out there because as a business, I treat my business the same way McDonald's treats their restaurants, right? Regardless of which McDonald's I go to in the United States, I know the burgers are going to taste the same. The French fries are going to taste the same. The ice cream machine is going to be broken. All those things are going to be true whenever I go to any McDonald's, right? And with that being said, I know for me, the way they do that is because they use procedures that are documented and the people know. So no matter what, everything's being done the same. So we have checklists, we have operations, we do things with a proprietary method. And every time these people go into a home, they're doing things the way I've stated it. And so that's why you had to put SOPs together. It's because I don't want to put the thinking on the onus of my workers or employees. I do the thinking for them as the entrepreneur. I will do the thinking. You just have to execute.
Exactly right. And I think that sometimes talk about Entrepreneur University, right? I think sometimes people, this was me too. So we talk about when things don't go well, instead of like, being somber about it, you learn from it so that you can be better. And I'm still working, getting better and better about it as I go through, but it's being clear about your expectations, right? So you can say, I'm hiring you as a cleaner, go and clean a house. But how, like, if you have specifics that you want in the way that they clean, you have to share that. You can't just think just because they were a cleaner for somebody else, but they know what you want for your customers in their cleaning. I love how you said cleaning experience. So, if you want the toilet paper to have a V, you have to say that. Otherwise, they may not do that because they didn't have to do that before. So being very clear about your expectations for those that support your business in whatever way that they do that as an employee, as a contractor, whatever it is, it's really, really critical. And it can help the success of the business when you are clear like that. Standard operating procedures, help your SOPs help you do that. So you have like, boom, you follow these, you're good, right? Yeah. You want to continue to work here, you follow these, you're good. You want to increase how much you get from this, because the more you do this, the more my business succeeds, the more I can do for you. Right. And that's how it goes.
And what's interesting too with that whole concept, what I kind of, you see is like, I like hiring people that are as raw as possible. Not in terms of like, okay, I've never cleaned a house, but if someone has like, even just in terms of business in general, when you're hiring people, what I feel and what I see is like the people that are typically lower skilled and have less of experience, what I actually see is like they're more coachable, they're more moldable, right? And so they don't already have a proprietary way or a certain way that they feel like things should be done. It's not, I don't care how you have done things. I don't care how you think they should be done. They should be done this way. So usually, and you can call it an ego with those kind of people, whatever case may be, but that's not what happens in my business. We're going to do things my way of doing them, just based on the fact that I know the right way they should be done for my business.
I was just going to say, and who owns the business? That's the beauty in owning it, right? Like my way. But so let me ask you this question. I guess let me pause on that, because that doesn't hold true with everything. Because I think, especially when your business grows and you have people with you, sometimes as business owners, you have to be open to what is shared. And you as the owner still decide how you take that in. But so my next question to you, relative to the cleaner business, those that may have the interest in going into that. I've had it both ways. I've had it where cleaning folks have come in and I needed to have the supplies that they needed to use to clean my home, or others that come in with their own supplies. Sometimes that's a little bit more cost to me as the end receiver. So how do you do it? And then whichever way you do it, why did you decide that way?
Yeah. So one thing, and again, it goes back to, there's so many different ways to do it, but the way I learned it in the course was just, you know, hiring based off of people that are independent contractors, right? Okay. And so essentially what you see in this industry is that a lot of people are actually, a lot of cleaners, house cleaners, they're just mom and pop kind of cleaners. They're not businesses. They're technicians, right? Because there's a difference between a technician and the entrepreneur. A technician knows how to do the work, right? If I go to McDonald's, they know how to make a burger because they have been doing that. They know how to operate within the system, right? But the entrepreneur that created McDonald's, he knows that, you know, as the entrepreneur, I know I can't be working in the business. I have to work on my business, right?
Yes.
So
yes, oh my gosh. Do you know that how long it takes for people to learn that right there, what you just said?
Very long.
It does. I know my lane. I can't do this the other stuff. I'm not gonna say I can't do it. It will take me forever to do some things that I have to pay somebody in my business to do, because that's their area of expertise. Like I'm okay. I need that in the business, because yeah. I'm not trying to do it all, because I want to be in my lane, and my lane is what I do within the business, the entrepreneur side.
Exactly. You want to focus on the income producing activities, IPA.
Yes. So, yes.
And so to answer your question though, in that regard, what you see is a lot of people are technicians in this industry. They're good at cleaning. They have experience cleaning, but they don't know how to operate a business. They don't know marketing, they don't know accounting, they don't know all these different things that go into actually operating and scaling a business. So they're good at cleaning, but, and it's kind of like an analogy, right? They can scale the fish, they can clean the fish, but they can't go catch the fish, right? Yeah. So my job is to go catch the fish and let them clean it and scale it for me, right? And so that is what I put people, and eventually, you know, while they're cleaning the fish now, eventually, you know, I can hire someone that's going to gas up the boat for me. And then I can hire someone that's going to, you know, make sure that the boat is always ready to go. And, you know, all these different things as you scale and grow. But in the beginning, you kind of like, one thing I never do and I never will ever do, not because there's nothing against it, but I know I'm never going to be cleaning houses just because that is not, at the end of the day, I'll lose a customer before I do that, because I'm always operating from the mindset of working on the business, not in my business. The moment I say, okay, it's cool to go clean this house, it's like I almost sold my soul to the devil almost. It's like, that's how it feels to me sometimes. But yeah, so a lot of these people, they don't have experience. So what you do is you get them to come work for you, and you tell them like, hey, I'm going to give you a good amount of jobs, a consistent amount of jobs, a consistent amount of work. That's what they want. They just want the work. They don't want to do the marketing, payroll, all these different things, accounting. So they just want work. So it's a win-win situation. I pay them really well and they get to get consistent amount of jobs, and you know, I can scale that operation, but that's just how I see it.
Yep. And so do they bring their own supplies, or the homeowner has to have their own?
Oh yes. Yeah. So yeah, they do bring their own, they have their own cleaning supplies. And I think when you're starting off, that's a great way to start off, because it keeps your overhead low. Yeah. Obviously, you have to pay them a little more because of that, because they do, you know, replenish their own supplies and those kind of things. But it keeps your overhead low. And it, like I said, it helps me. I look at myself like the middleman. I'm not necessarily even the house cleaning company. They're really the house cleaning. But to the customer, I'm the house cleaning company. But I'm the middleman, really. Like I said, I'm getting the fish and giving it to them to scale and clean it. Right. And I'll take a piece of it from the middle. I'll take a portion of the profit.
So, okay. So now you started this business, you got SOPs in place, you now have contractors working for you to actually the technicians doing the actual work. How did you go from my first house customer been with you in the first 2 weeks to making $30,000 a month?
Yeah.
Was it referral based? Oh, they're doing a great job at my house. you know, my friend also needs a cleaner, or were you, you know, hitting the pavement? Did you have a sign up at the grocery store? How did it grow in that time span from the first customer to where it is now?
Yeah, it's really just primarily online marketing. So, you know, Yelp, Thumbtack, all these different sources that people use to, because you got to understand, a lot of people, I don't have to go find customers. These people are already looking for you. So you just got to get in front of them. And that's essentially what marketing is, right? Yeah. Because I know it's not necessarily even being the best house cleaning company, although that's what I strive for. It's about being the most known, mm-hmm. right? Best known always beats best. The best known, you know, if I'm going to the store and there's a great brand, if I'm looking for diapers, right? I know there's probably like Loves and there's probably Huggies, right? But I know one of those is probably the ones I'm going to get. Or if I'm getting toothpaste, it's going to be Colgate or Crest. There might be a much better brand out there, but I don't know that brand. Yeah. I know Colgate or Crest. So that's what I'm picking between. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I look at marketing as well. So I know I just need to get in front of them. So I do that by, you know, spending a lot of money on, you know, ads on Yelp and Thumbtack and, you know, Google and all these places to get in front of the customer that are already looking for you. You got to get in front of these people's eyes.
Yeah, I love it. So this has been a wonderful episode. We've gone on a journey from, you know, you being an engineer, graduating from college, learning real estate was one of the things, not the thing, and then into the money making machine in your cleaning business. So what would you have to say to the listener that also wants many streams of income, maybe your age, maybe older, and thinking about, I want financial freedom the way that you have defined it in the beginning. What would you say to them as we close out here?
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest thing I would say is pick one thing and take action immediately, right? Mm-hmm. Pick one thing and take action immediately. And that goes back down to focus, right? And it's not to say whatever you pick is what you have to stick to, but it's just to pick something and take action, because the longer you sit there trying to, I think, and there's a saying, it's like imperfect action, or a action without a perfect plan beats inaction with a perfect plan, right?
Yes,
so,
yes.
Because as long as you're taking action on something, then you're moving forward, you're progressing. But you can trick yourself into thinking you're actually putting your work by sitting there trying to decide and plan and learn and all these things. I mean, you can get the knowledge from the courses and stuff is very important, as we talked about earlier. But it doesn't matter. You can't just keep taking courses and getting all these dopamine hits from new things without implementing it, right? At least I was doing that, but I was implementing everything. I took something and I implemented it immediately until I figured out. I lost a lot of money doing that. That's why I'm not telling you, go do that. I'm saying try one thing at a time, see what works for you. And then, you know, if that's the one, then you run with it. You focus on that. And it's like, and this is the last thing I'll say too about this. That whole concept of multiple streams of income is great. But when you focus on trying to have so many in the beginning, you just have multiple streams of work, because it doesn't do me any good to have one rental property, one truck, one vending machine, one cleaner, one rental car. One of anything isn't going to do me good. It's not going to make me wealthy or give me financial freedom. I'm just more busier than I was before. Yeah, right. Yeah. So now I know I'm focusing 100% on one thing. I'm going to scale that up. Get multiple, you know, increase the revenue extremely, get it really high. And then from there, I can now create multiple streams of income within that. And I can take the money from that. And now I can, if I want, I can go back and build another bridge to Financial Freedom Island.
That's exactly right. And I'll give you another tip if you haven't already thought about this. You know, you told me you paid whatever dollar amount you paid to learn the tricks and trades so that you can start it. If you haven't already thought about this, that should be what your next stream.
Yeah.
Have a course or have an ebook, something to tell people how to start a cleaning business.
Yeah.
And if you do an ebook, it's passive. Boom, you put it out there, it's done. Or you, I love how you come through the screen. So you may want to do a course that's on demand, but you have the knowledge, and why not have people now pay you for it?
Yeah. And my whole thing, I'm showing respect to, you know, the people that taught it to me, because they're putting it out there and those kind of things too. So I don't want to do it too quickly in that regard. But my whole thing with that is I want people to go learn it from them. If it's something that's like you want to do now, go learn it from them. I don't have a problem with you learning from them. I mean, I I owe them a lot for it.
Well, that's great. That's also great that you would say that. So now I'm going to ask, you know, as we wrap up, I've enjoyed this. Again, you've heard from Alex. He shared becoming an engineer, what that translated into, him not liking doing that. He also still has his 9-to-5. So he is using that to fund his forever, all the other hours in the day. He talked about real estate and thinking that that was the only lane he wanted to play in to supplement everything else that he wanted, and then learned, well, that I can still do that while doing something else, and tried a bunch of different things that got him to the cleaning business. That's now where he's reaping and returning a lot on that particular business, and talked about how he got there and things he learned from it and where he learned it from. So tell them, if you, do you have anything going on that you want them to know about? Where could people, what, tell them where you live, what state or town or wherever you are. If people are interested in getting cleaning, they can look you up. So name of business, where you are, or anything else you want to share you have going on here.
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest thing I want to share is y'all, so like I mentioned, we have a podcast, me and my business partner, so, and it's called Money Monopolizers, and we have a podcast episode every week. We drop every Thursday, and we talk into a lot of heavy hitters that are doing some huge, huge things, and man, there's so many different ways to gain financial freedom that anything I said today, you don't even have to do anything I've done. There's like so many, there's anything you want to do, you can do, like, to gain financial freedom. And once you get exposure, that is once you actually realize that, right? They say exposure leads to expansion. And the best way to, for me to get, for I think a lot of people to get exposure is listen to podcasts like yours. I'm sure you bring a lot of great guests on here that can, you know, that have been exposing a lot to people. And I think podcasts are, is the number one way to actually learn things right now, in terms of like, just getting information from real teachers that is at a very low cost, essentially free. And like, it won't be like this forever. I personally believe as podcasts become more prominent, it won't, there'll be a paid, podcasts will become paid at some point. Anyways, that's like a whole nother thing. But so I just say, I mean, if you want to learn more about me and reach out to me, then go check out the podcast. Check us out on Instagram as well. It's called Money Monopolizers. And we always post a lot of informative content on there, and we're bringing, you know, great guests on every week. So yeah, feel free to reach out to me. I'm based out of here in San Antonio, Texas. And, you know, if anyone's out here, if anyone wants to reach out to me, feel free to.
And what's the name of your cleaning business in San Antonio?
Extreme Clean.
Extreme Clean. You heard it here. So Alex, thank you so much for being on the Money Exchange, which is the audio version of what we, you heard here today. And if you're watching us on It's My Money with Patrina Dixon, thank you for rocking with us. I appreciate you. Don't forget, if you have not hit subscribe, we had a great episode here today, and we bring guests like Alex all the time. So make sure you hit that subscribe button right at the bottom. It's those red letters that spell subscribe. Make sure you hit that. And if you enjoyed it, give us a thumbs up so Alex know that this information was dope that you heard here today, and leave a comment because I'm sure he'll be taking a look at those as well. Again, my name is Patrina Dixon. I am the It's My Money lady. I am the one who teach you how to manage your money, level up so that you can live your best life, because we win, win, win. That's what I'm, that's my motto for right now. I also share entrepreneurship tips as well. You can follow me across social at itsmymoney_, and then jump on my newsletter list by going to itsmymoneyjournal.info. And if you're interested in money management courses, make sure you take a look at the link at the bottom. And if you're listening, the link will be in the show notes to get the Money Masters money management course. So again, Patrina Dixon, Alex, thank you so much for being with me. Keep doing what you're doing, young man. I love to see young people doing wonderful things like you are. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate you so much. Thanks,
Patrina. All right, you as well.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Money Exchange Podcast. Not sure how you found us, but if you haven't subscribed, please do so. That really helps in that you'll be notified each time a new episode airs. We are available on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and I'm really excited to say we're also available on Pandora. So search for The Money Exchange and hit that subscribe button, and please share with your friends. And if you enjoy an episode that you've heard, please hit the little heart or leave a comment and let us know your thoughts. Thank you so much for listening.